Father, we seek you now. Open us, Lord, to receive your word. And Lord, we ask that you would fill us to overflowing with your spirit, that you would teach us and guide us and instruct us in the ways that we should go. Lord, help us to lay it up in our heart and to change our behavior accordingly. Help us, Lord, to do your will. And we seek you now. We give this time completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the last few months, I've really been noticing a tremendous falling away. I don't know if you're witnessing the same thing. In the studies, in the Christians that are already walking, more excuses, less attendance, people you don't see them as often. People have been coming to the Lord in droves, but they haven't been, Satan's been robbing them of even the first studies. The follow-through has been terrifically low. And we need to pray, of course, first, and we need to reach out. We need to exhort one another, comfort one another, give each other a little push, encourage people to come to the studies, and really to fight back. And especially at this holiday time, so many things get in the way, and depression seems to just crop up in abundance. People get down that maybe it's the first season they haven't been with their mate, or something has happened, all sorts of reasons, and Satan just has a field day at the time when we're celebrating the Lord's birth. And so we too can reach out and counteract some of this. But I also notice that people are really open to receive Christ right now, like I've never seen. You practically just have to say, let's pray. And they say, okay. And so I encourage you to get in on some of this harvest and some of the blessing that's out there. And as Mike has mentioned, because people are hearing about Jesus at this time of year, even as they're shopping, the songs are playing in the background, their hearts and minds are softened and open to receive the word at a time like no other. And so take advantage of that. I was thinking, isn't it a blessing to know what the lyrics of those songs mean for real? How many years we sang them and round yon virgin, what's that, you know? And now we know. And so it is a time that we can share that meaning with people out there. And that's what I'd like to talk about today, the harvest. And so if you look with me at John chapter 4, verses 35 to 38. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Obviously, it was the springtime, and he was looking to the fall, and when the harvest would naturally be. That is the harvest of grains. But he's talking about a different harvest here. And he says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and he that gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. The Lord is talking about the spiritual harvest. Of course, right in context here, he has just spoken to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she realizes he's the Messiah, and then in the next verse, she goes back and tells everyone. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be so filled with the excitement of who Christ is that we can't help but share it. And she runs back to Samaria and shares, and it says in the next verse, and many Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. And so the Samaritans, I read in one place, wore like a white headpiece. And so as the Samaritans are coming forward to receive the Lord, it looks like a white harvest, which I thought was interesting. I only found that in one place. But I looked at the word white, And it appears in Luke 9 when Jesus is at the Mount of Transfiguration and he starts praying. And as he prayed, the appearance of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. And so the Lord is telling us that the harvest is just glistening. Flashing with the brilliance of lightning was another definition, or dazzling. That there are souls out there hungry to hear, ready to be harvested, ready to be reaped. And it says in these scriptures that whether you just sow seeds or whether you actually pray with the person, accept the Lord and reap the harvest, you receive great reward. And it's all one harvest. You know, you look at some people who maybe always get to reap and you think, well, nobody does that when I'm with them. But it's sowing of seeds or watering receives just the same reward. And it says that the word of God never returns void. So everything you share about the Lord is in their hearts to stay, and God does that work. And so be encouraged to step out right now and get some of that reward. Ironsides, I'm going to read to you what he says about that scripture. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He says, not the fields of wheat, not the fields of corn, but these great fields of the nations of men all about us, everywhere in the world. They are white already to harvest, men and women everywhere who need Christ, men and women who are living in their sins, who are dying in their sins, who are crying out, who will show us any good? And now it is the responsibility of the servants of Christ, of those who know him, of those who have been saved by his grace, to give this message of his gospel to those still living in sin. And so it is at this time of year especially. And I thought we'd look at a few scriptures together. You don't have to turn to them. You can use these sheets later to go back during the week. The first three have to do with wisdom. And that's been a goal of us, to be wise women, godly women. And Proverbs 10:5 says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. So we do not want to sleep through the harvest. The harvest is now. And we want to be that wise son that gathereth in when the time of gathering is now. We do not want to cause shame upon ourselves or upon the Lord's name because we just sleep, sit idle, or are too lazy to do the work that we're here to do. And Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And so we're being shown that it's part of wisdom to go out in the field and to gather souls. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So the Lord's giving us a promise that we will shine eternally, those who are interested in soul winning, and that should be every one of us, every single one. In Matthew, the Lord says to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. First of all, we realize it's his harvest. It's not something we're doing on our own or for us, but for him. And sending forth means to force out. And so we're praying today that he will force us out into the field, that he will force us out to be laborers in the harvest, to do the work, and also to pray that more will be sent. That's a very important part also. Prayer. Pray that souls will be harvested. Pray that more people will be moved to do that. And pray for yourself that she will be filled with that desire and that boldness to go out and be a laborer in the field. In Matthew 4, the Lord says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So we learn that God will do it. He will do the work. You know, if you're shy or feel that, you know, you can't talk to people or never could, if you think about it, that brings even more glory to the Lord. I think it's the people who think that they can do it that get in his way. And if you realize there's simply no power in you at all and no ability in God, just pray that he opens that door and that he gives you the words and that he makes a way and then he does it, then all glory goes to him. And people also realize, hey, she's shy. That couldn't be of her. There's something else going on. And so really, the shyer you are and the in your own personality, the greater will be the glory to God. So don't let that stand in your way. He says that he will make us the fishers of men. It's really his work. And all he always asks of it is what? That willing heart. And so let's open our hearts this morning that during this holiday we can make it a really special gift to the Lord, where gift-giving really counts, and that is that we please him by bringing in the harvest and hastening the day of the Lord. Matthew also says in chapter 10, and these are all words of the Lord that we've been quoting so far, and it shows just how important it is to him. "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that's what we should be doing. The world out there is sick, and the world is getting more and more hopeless. And especially after that, the day after, the nuclear film, and people that are just desperately looking for an answer, they see, most people see that things are getting worse and worse at a rapid rate. And we can go forth and preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. We have the only hope there is. My mother used to say, as most mothers, I suppose, eat everything on your plate. There are people starving in Asia. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. We are sitting at a feasting table, at a banqueting table. We are taught in the Word. We are so rich and so blessed. And out there, they have no food. They have no Word of God. And if you just sit and feast and don't share it, you're really displeasing the Lord, and we must reach out. It's not so important, really, the food we feed the poor and the gifts we give and all of that at this time, but I think the Lord's really speaking to make this holiday one that's meaningful to him. And so we can go out and preach. Yes, Jesus Christ came as a little babe. And he came and he paid for all of your sins that you can come to be with God and fellowship with God. And he's coming again. The kingdom of God is at hand. And this is the message. We'll go in a little more depth. What should we preach, you know? What does it mean, the kingdom of God is at hand? "What I tell you in darkness," he says, "speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops." I like that. And he, in other words, he wants us to go out and make a proclamation to tell the world that he came and that he's coming again and what he did. You know, most people on the housetops are only thinking of reindeer right now. And so, you know, let's try to make this the most spiritual Christmas, you know, that we've had to this point. And instead get up there on the housetops, don't really do that, but figuratively, and preach the word, preach the gospel, give hope. A lot of us are afraid of family gatherings, or we spend time this year in partyings with people who are unsaved because of where we work or something like this, and we have great fear. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Well, you can turn that to an advantage and use those opportunities to reach the unsaved, to reach your family in a way that you never did before, remembering always, of course, the main attitude must be love, and that that is the main witness of Christ. And so when we do preach and when we do share, that it is done in love because we care about them. But make that reach out this time instead of being silent. You know, and ask the Lord for those opportunities and those doors to open. And he says, and fear not them who kill the body. We shouldn't be afraid of the unsaved, of our family, of old Aunt Matilda we're going to see who's always so hostile, or anyone that we really fear. He says, don't fear them who are not able, who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The fear should not be of men or of our families or of any situation that we can get into, but we should fear the living God, the one who has the power to place you or anyone in heaven or hell. And we should have a healthy fear that those we love are going to hell unless they're reached with the gospel, and that we could have a part, whether it's sowing a little seed or watering or planting, that we should be bold to make that known to them so at least they're informed. And then God can do the work. We're just supposed to be the watchman giving the news, telling them, and then the work is God's. It's not your business how they receive it, but it is your business that they hear it. In Mark, we get the great commission where the Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are all to be preachers, everyone. Yes, it's true that some have a greater gift of evangelism, but we are all to preach. And I have a definition of preach on your sheet there. Sometimes it's a mysterious word and we just say, well, he's a preacher, you know, that's Preacher Jones or whatever. But we are all to preach, and that is to bring or show the good news. Another word for good news is good tidings or glad tidings. Good news, the word is gospel. That's what gospel means, good news. To bring or show the good news concerning the Son of God as proclaimed in the gospel, to proclaim, to be bold in speech. And so we were all to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. Be bold, proclaim the good news of Christ. And it says in Luke, I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so when one turns, everyone in heaven, the angels rejoice. There's great happiness. And so we would like to purpose in our hearts to add to that happiness in heaven this season, that there would be a big party up there, that they would be rejoicing over every sinner that repents this season, and that we could be part of that great harvest. Just as the angels were joyously proclaiming the birth of Christ, so they can be joyously celebrating the repentance of the sinners that come in to harvest this season. And so think, you know, we think about pleasing God, and this is one way that it says that heaven is pleased. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, so then neither is he that plants anything, and neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase. So realize, you know, it's nothing of us. It is God that does the work. But when you step out in the field to plant or to water, God will work an increase. And it's not glory to the person, but glory to the Lord. Always remember that. It's not notches in your Bible that we're going out for. However, the Lord does say he rewards us. He just gives us the opportunity to be used He does the work. He gives us the power. He tells us what to say. He gives us the people to say it to, and then he blesses us when we do it. And yet all glory goes to him. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. And of course, you know, you can be one by prayer. When you pray for people who do go out and witness a lot, when you pray for the church and the ministries, when you pray for other people who are going to visit their families, friends that you know, if you get together and pray ahead and they do have a fruitful time, you partake of that. We're all one body. And the work that goes on is all shared. The idea is start participating by prayer, you know, by reaching out, and financially too. All of that helps. We are all one, whatever work is going on. And when you know, maybe the last person to pray with someone to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, think of all the people and prayers and words and seeds and watering that went before you. And that's what the Lord was saying. You know, I've given you fields where the labor's been done. And it's all one. We're all one. It isn't glory to any person. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Whatever little part you play, you're rewarded for. He's such a gracious God. For we are laborers together with God. That is miraculous, that he wants to use us. You are God's cultivated field. I like that. You are God's building. And so we are just part of God's work, and he wants us to enter in more into his work and be more a part and receive more blessing and receive more reward. And of course, we've got to include Acts 1:8, because where do we get the power? Always remember, it is not of us. It's his field, his work, and his power. But I'm going to read that one we should know. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit, if any of you have not yet received that, don't leave today without it. You need it. It is that power to be a witness. It is that boldness to speak out and proclaim the good news. It's the power of the walk. You know, and if you haven't asked for it, you wonder why your walk is weak or up and down and roller coaster-ish, we can remedy it today. We just ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's specifically for being a witness in word and in deed. And starting at home, always God wants us to work closest first and then move out at home. And then in your neighborhood, in your city, in your county, in your country. And then you'll notice as you're faithful to proclaim the gospel, he will widen your horizon. You will broaden the people that you reach, the amount of people and the distance that the message goes. But don't worry, just be faithful right at home. Start with your family, start with your friends and those around you this holiday. Acts 10 says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. We're going to look at a little bit what we should be preaching. We already saw that we preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. And now the Lord says, preach peace by Jesus Christ. He is the only peace. He is the way to peace. You can have peace with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The world is very interested in peace. That's all you hear. And there are many open doors, the peace movements and this and that, and you can step right in and say, the only peace possible is through Jesus Christ. First, by your coming to him, you will have peace with God And that's the only peace that you can have. And you know what? Christ is going to come back, and peace will be reigning on this earth. But not until he comes. Let me tell you about it. And so we have the true message of peace, which is what Christmas is about. I'm going to look at that a little more depth. But peace is only possible by and through our Lord. This is what the world needs to hear. Preach peace by Jesus Christ. That's the message. In 2 Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means at any time. You can't really plan when it's going to come. But be ready at all times. And be ready this holiday. Pray before you go to each thing. Pray before you're going to have lunch with someone or whatever it be, wherever you're going to meet people. And pray in the morning that you be ready that day, that God would use you, that you could share even a little tiny bit today about the kingdom of God. Once you begin to see fruit and that people's lives are changed and that it makes a difference, the blessing is so great, no one needs to exhort you anymore to do it. It's just beginning. Just make the beginning and you'll be amazed how he opens that pathway to you. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Oh, wait, I missed. Before we do, let's look at Acts 10. Sorry. Starting at verse 36. Because here in a little tiny nutshell is the gospel. As we look at what Peter preached, we can get some clues for ourselves as to, you know, what should we say? What should we preach? And so starting at 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, is part of what you can say. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Here we go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with his Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and they hanged on a tree. So we talk about Jesus' birth, the fact that he came. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he began that ministry. And what he did and what he said, what he offers, that he offers life eternal, that he was crucified, he knew it ahead. He went to that cross for our sin. The price has been paid. Him God raised up on the third day. So we preach the death and the resurrection. He went to the cross to pay for your sins, but he rose, giving you eternal life. And you can live in Christ in this world in victory. You don't have to be overcome by the evil in the world any longer. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead, and that God will judge every man at the end as to what you did with Jesus. Did you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Then you get to be with him in joy forever and ever. And if you did not, then you are damned. And also the judgment that is coming upon the world, the great tribulation, you should be informing people of the events to come and the judgment that is coming, but that there's a way out. If they don't take it now, tell them about the mark. Tell them the things to look for, because there's great hope that they will not be deceived at that time if they've received the gospel message. And we are, you know, prophets speaking forth the word of God to the world, just like the early ones were, except our message is of the end and of the coming kingdom of the Lord. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. And of course, that's the main message. And a whosoever is anybody, including us. The only difference is that we already did it. We received that forgiveness. But it is open for anybody. God paid the price already. And you too, if you believe on his name and turn your life to him, are forgiven of all sins, all paid in full. This is the beautiful message of the gospel. And that's just in summary. But that's what we're supposed to tell. That's what we're supposed to preach. I would warn you, stick to the gospel, the things that we've talked about, salvation. Because if someone is not spiritual, that is all they're capable of receiving. Some of you who are very at home now with spiritual truths and you know some of the Bible and you can be casual about things and you forget when you're with the unsaved that they cannot understand. It's like pearls before swine and they'll slaughter you. You know, you tell them that you talk to God or God talks to you, or that there are two natures warring in you, the flesh and the spirit and things like this, and they'll lock you up. Or they'll send you to their favorite psychiatrist. So there are things that, you know, cannot be shared at holiday time. What you are to share is the gospel, the message of peace, the message of salvation, the way out. Now we'll turn to Luke chapter 2. Starting at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The message of Christmas, but actually that King James translation is better translated. Peace to men of God's will. Because this is one that the world bandies about, and they say, well, peace didn't come to this earth. Everything's a mess. What are they talking about, that Christ came, peace on earth, goodwill to men? But it is that peace toward men of God's will. The only way you can receive that peace is to come into God's will. In other words, accept Christ as your Savior, and he gives you that gift, peace. And that's what it meant. If you accept the birth of this babe, his work on the cross and resurrection, you will have peace. And then eventually, at his second coming, peace on earth. So that is something that you can clear up, and you can be a bearer of the good tidings of Christmas, just as these angels were. But be sure that you have the message, the good tidings, why Christ came, why that baby was born, and of course, the second coming. That he is coming again, not lowly in a manger with no place to hang his head, riding on a donkey and all of those things, but on a white horse with a sword in judgment and power. And he is going to take his rightful place. And so, we have good news. We have the best news. And the Lord is urging us to go out and proclaim it. We are proclaiming peace by Jesus. He is our peace. And he has broken down the wall that separated sinful man from holy God through his blood on the cross. And we can enter in if we accept that gift that was already done. And it's the whole purpose that Christ came. That's why the angels were rejoicing. Get the Christmas message out and just get busy harvesting in that field. It brings joy to our Lord. We learned that. And who should receive the birthday presents? The people who come to the party are the one whose birthday it is. And so this year, let us give gifts to the one we're honoring. And it does bring joy to the Lord to work in his harvest, to labor in his field, to bring in good fruit, to preach, to proclaim from the housetops the glad tidings, the whole reason of his birth. And also, we learn in Scripture, by the by, that we can earn gifts for ourselves. And all the ones we receive here, they're all going to burn. They all pass away. Their joy is so limited. Usually within a week, you've even forgotten how exciting it was to receive it. But the gifts that you can earn are eternal if you do the Lord's work. And so think about giving the best gifts to yourselves, the ones, the treasures in heaven, the ones that will not melt away. And he encourages us in many of these scriptures not to be fearful or anxious about this holiday, about being with family, about who we'll meet, about being with the unsaved. But look ahead as an opportunity this season instead of in fear, that you could do bear good fruit by planting, by sowing, by watering, by reaping, by dropping those seeds, the word of God, in people's hearts, giving them gifts that will last, not ones that will pass away either. Reach out and pray that the Lord will open doors with your unsaved family, with friends, with people you love dearly, people in your neighborhood this year, and that you could be truly a laborer. The harvest truly is white. And as I said, also think about your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Of course, uplifting, exhorting, edifying, bringing them back into the fullness of the walk with Christ. If you see them slipping away, encourage people to come to the Christmas services. It's an opportunity. There's three or four events: the choir, the Christmas play, the Christmas Eve service, the Christmas Day service, to bring unsaved, to bring friends or backslidden brothers or sisters. And make this a really meaningful time this year, not the Christmas or the Xmas that the world celebrates, but putting Christ not only in front, but in the middle and at the center, and the whole meaning of the season. Look up, he says. The harvest is white. And of course, when he says look up, it's not only that the harvest is white, but that he is coming. We know he's coming very soon. perhaps even this season, perhaps even this day. Don't waste the time that's left. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you that we are your children. We praise you, Lord, that you came, that you were born, that you, Lord, that you died, and that you rose again. We just praise you, Lord. We cannot imagine a love so great as that. And we just want to draw closer and closer to you. Lord, we want to appreciate and be thankful this season and remind ourselves of what you did do. And Lord, we want to be so overcome with thankfulness, Lord, that we don't want to keep the news to ourselves. But let it spread. Lord, fill us with the power of your Spirit to be those witnesses. Help us, Lord, to reach out, to preach from the housetops the good news, the glad tidings, Lord, that the rejoicing in heaven this season would just be so terrific. Father, we want to bear good fruit for you. We want to please you, Lord. And we want to earn, Lord, rewards, too. You tell us that this is something we can do. And Father, help us to focus then on the eternal things, not to get caught up with the cares of this world, the commercialism, the gift-giving, and the shallow things that the world has to offer this holiday, Lord. But help us to rise above, to keep our eyes on you, to look up, and Father, to make use of opportunities. And we ask that you would give us many opportunities, Lord, in that harvest field. Fill us with your boldness. Give us the wisdom and the words to say, Lord. And Father, don't let us hold back. And most of all, Father, we ask that you would fill us to overflowing with your love, and that any preaching we do would be in love, that the people would realize it's because we care about them, that we are telling them these things. Father, help us. Help us to bear good fruit and much fruit this season. And Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest. And let us be those laborers and many, many more. Help us to exhort one another to be out there and do your work. By the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.